right? Y'all ready to receive? Father, you heard them. They want to receive from you tonight, not from me. These are your lips. This is your tongue. This is your mind. Put them all together, Father, to deliver your will tonight with revelation and with signs and wonders following my life's being changed. We yield ourselves to that, and we give you thanks that it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What's the first scripture up there? Tonight, the last time I was here, I started a session again on who do you say that I am. I think it was the second time. This is the third. I'm going to get some detail that I left out last time. Okay. 13 through 19, right? Okay, let's read this together. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Who is I, the Son of Man? Who do they say that I am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So where does all revelation come from? The Father. All right. Now this revelation that, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Not on Peter. The rock is not Peter. The rock is the revelation from the Father. All right. "And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, the gates of the enemy shall not prevail against it. And I will give you, if you will establish in your mind that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God." Okay? And the only way this is going to be established in you is the revelation that He is that and you are that. If that wasn't the case, He wouldn't give you the keys of the kingdom. You understand? The revelation is Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And here's the revelation, so are you. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Might be loosed in heaven. That sounds like you have tremendous authority. Well, where do you think you got that? By a revelation that you are an heir, a son of God. If you don't have that revelation, you don't have the keys of the kingdom. And you won't be able to bind and loose. That's why I feel like this is so important, what we're studying right now. You have to understand, believe, without a shadow of a doubt, first, that Jesus is the Son, and second, so are you. On that foundation, when you get that established, I will hand you, I will trust you with the keys of the kingdom. That revelation will give you understanding on what to bind and what to lose. Because you are heirs, you are led by the Spirit of God. That's what I'm putting some stuff together, right? Okay. Now, I want to do that because God the Father wants me to do that, and Jesus the Son wants me to do that. What they want, I want. My will is His will is mine. I'm led by that revelation. We need to bind and loose. We need the keys of the kingdom. Otherwise, God is not exalted, Jesus is not exalted, and neither am I. I'm just a pew warmer. Okay. We started last week with a little review on the last time I was here. We understand that God said, as I am, all power, the last word, all word. He says of me, I am a son, an heir, and that I have power over all weapons, sickness, disease. Isn't that what we just read there? I have the keys of the kingdom. You know what that means? I can lock some things out. I don't just lock some things in, I lock some things out. Does that mean the threats won't be there? No. It means you walk by faith and you know the threats are just the valley of the shadow of death. They never equate death. They're just a threat. A roaring lion. I say of God that He's my Father, my Lord, my husband, and He is all power and all word. Therefore, I have nothing to fear. Amen? All right. Now, I've used a lot of, over the last year or so, we've studied a lot of Scripture. I hope some of it has stuck with you. I pray that all of it has. But I need to establish beyond a shadow of a doubt who I am. I don't think God has ever had a trouble establishing who He is. You would agree with that? I believe, tell Him I am that I am sent you, had anything to do with introducing Himself. Because the whole world at that time knew of God. But they didn't know that He had sons. And the idea of the introduction was, the big cheese is introducing the big cheese. If you go back to Genesis, that's what it says. You're the cheese. Let's go on. If I get these things established, I need to learn who do I say that I agree am. I am. Do I agree with God? Am I His seed? Am I His son? Am I His vested heir? If that's the case, He's given me His power and authority. He's given me His power and authority by His love and through the written word, and then by revelation. In that order. You never know God unless you receive His love. You never His word unless you study it. You're not going to even understand His love truly. And then by revelation you'll understand what the first two are about. If you go to Isaiah 54:17, this is who you are. This is who a son of God, an heir of God is. If you deny this, you deny the power of God. No weapon formed against me. Can you say that? No weapon formed against me. We already understand that no weapon formed against God is going to prosper. But we got to know that I'm a son of God. So no, it doesn't say that, by the way, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't say there will be no weapons formed against you. It says if you really believe by revelation that you're a son of God, they will not prosper. You can't chant the word. You can't memorize it and quote it 100 times a day. You have to know it. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue, including yours. See, that tongue is a wild thing. Sometimes it turns against you. Sometimes it turns against those things that you love. But every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Whoa. We just got permission to judge. Did you catch that? Well, you got to. If you're going to condemn it, you got to judge it. You don't go around condemning things without righteous judgment, do you? Y'all are being quiet about this. This is not a trick. It's written right there. Just agree with the word. What are you allowed to judge? Unrighteousness. Number one. A tongue that rises against you is an unrighteous tongue. You are to judge it and condemn it. That's what it says. You are. So now don't get on your soapbox and ride around all Beeville and say, I condemn that. I judge that and condemn it. Just get off you. It says, just wait. Do it in revelation power. That means you know who, what, when, where, how, and why. You shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Are you an heir? Do you see that word up there? Heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So you're going to do it righteously, and He says, it's from me. So it's not even your judgment. That's the safety here. It's not your judgment. You're not going to be held accountable because there was a revelation from the Lord through your righteousness and His. You're going to learn and say, that's not for me. That's wrong. I don't tolerate that. Tie that outside. Whatever you want, however you want to say it. Everybody in agreement with this? Good, because it's written. If I'm His seed, I'm His son, I'm Jesus' brother, I've been given power and authority by His love and His written word to come against anything that comes against me. You know how I stay safe at that? I make sure it's coming against the Father. If you walk up and say, I don't like your shoes, I don't have the right to say, I condemn that. The Father didn't get upset. I'm not getting upset. All I say is, well, I suggest you don't wear them. Peace. We are created the same reason Jesus was created, for the kingdom. Anything's against the kingdom, we're against. We don't mumble about it. We take a stand and we let people know. That's the way Jesus did it. And you said amen, right? Yeah, He wasn't, you know. Forget that. I asked you some questions the other Wednesday night. One of them was, who do you say that others are? See, you'll know who you say God is by who you say others are. Are they seeds or are they weeds? Others. Are they seeds or weeds? Are they mine or are they God's? So He can determine what seed or weed. See, you're given the job of tending the garden. But you aren't real good at determining seed and weed. So only by revelation do you know what is a seed and what is a weed. Just because they might not like your dress you got on doesn't mean they're a weed. In fact, they may be the seed to remind you you're ugly in that dress. Come on, not everything that is said to you that you don't like is bad. Sometimes it's a lifesaver. Man, your breath is bad tonight. Oh, thank you. You see? I could say other things, but that's enough. Do we have the right to judge, or do we have the right to command, or to command to loose? You realize if I look at Isaiah, and I see that I can condemn this thing. Am I condemning it to hell or am I condemning its prosperity? You understand what I'm saying? If there's an action, if there's an attitude, if there's a word process that I can condemn, I don't have to condemn it to hell. No, I can condemn that to hell, but not you. Never, ever judge the person. It says the tongue. Judge the tongue. That means words that come out, if they don't fit you, they don't fit you. Say, that's not mine. Mm-mm. If you say it again, I'll get more serious. I might even say to hell with that. And mean it. But don't ever tell anybody to go to hell. You just crossed over the biggest line you ever crossed over. You will pay for that. Do others that you have around you. That's a good word. Do they have a future? Are they dumber than a post? Do you have some kind of explanation for those people? I mean, expectation for those people? Maybe God does. Do you? Because even at the worst, dumber than a post, the Bible says they will always be with you. So what are you going to do? Kill them? You don't own them. That's what you told me a while ago. They're not yours, right? Who or what do I say about the situations that are around me? Do I have control or don't I have control? You're not answering me fast enough. The things that are going on around me, happening to me, what am I in control or am I not in control? Well, what if it doesn't look like I am? That's right. I need to watch my tongue. If it comes out like I'm not, then I condemn that. Right? If somebody else says, "Boy, you're out of control," I condemn that. You want to be nice? You say, "I don't receive that." That doesn't sound like word to me. That's got to be a lie because it's not truth. You pick your way. But you need to speak it. If it's spoken over you, speak back. Do your situations rule you? Or do you rule the situations? Now, the trouble with most of us is that we say, "I rule this situation," and 5 minutes later we give up. Give up when you die. That's it. Give up when you die. When there's no more up in you, give it up. Go up. Is everything around you, every situation around you, is it for good? Or is it for bad? See, it's your choice. Do my situations rule me or do I rule them? What do I say that my body, health, finance, and future, what do I say about those things? The best way to see a good, strong Christian give up is give them a little pain. Make them a little uncomfortable. And they just quit. They might even say, "Just as I expected." And that would be the truth. Instead of saying, "Though they slay me," you listen to somebody saying, "Curse God and die." That's today. Choose you this day. Life or death, blessings and curses. How tough are we? How serious are we about believing God? Do we really believe that He wants best for us? And He's doing His best to give us His best. Instead of believing that the enemy is doing his best to give us his best, why don't we just believe that God's doing His best to give us the best? And if we think the enemy's involved, we tell him, "The gates of hell will not prevail." And you all said amen. I know what somebody says sometimes. You see, these situations, they don't rule me, but they sure rule over you. You know what that says, don't you? You know what you're saying when you say that? You're saying that I'm persevering, I'm a man of faith, but they're not. How do you know? Can you tell by the looks of things? My body, my health, my finances. Did you know that the body, my body, my health, my finances, my future is a gift of God? Well, I don't particularly like my body. You don't like God's gift? Why don't you talk to him about it? Tell him you don't like his gift. See what he says. Try to return it. See where it gets you. Complain about it. See how many more you get. My body, my health, my finances, is it something that I have control of? Or is it something that I have no control of? You mean you have control of finances? You do? All right. How about your health? How about when you're hurting? Jesus hurt for you. He hurt a lot for you. You haven't hurt near as much as he has. Can't you take up your cross and follow him a little bit? Ooh, we don't like it interpreted that way, do we? Don't ask for pain. That's stupid. Don't try to be crucified. We don't need you. We got our crucifixion. We don't need another one. I'm not trying to teach you a crazy religion. But I'm telling you, if something you don't understand comes up, you don't give up. I must believe that all is secure because I am in Him, which is the great I Am. Amen. What about my will? Who or what do I say my will is? Did you know everybody has a will? It's the one thing God will not take from you ever. So where's it located? I didn't hear you. That's a good answer. Where do we put it? Some people put it in their stomach. Much as they can. Some people put it in their pockets as much as they can. They're ruled by that will because that's where they put it. I didn't have that written down, but I like it. Some people give it to other people. Some husbands give it to their wives. That's wrong. That's sick and wrong, by the way. That's anti-Christ. Come on, men, be bold. Wave your head up and down if you can't say amen. When you get a pain, no matter where it's located, does that become your will? Most people lose their minds because that pain becomes their will and they're going to take control of that by medication. When God has already told you, He's already taken care of it. So your will is not in Him, it's in something else, in pharmaceutical. Which, don't go to the root of that word, you're not going to like it. Get a little short of money? Where's your will go? Well, I better get out and get the 2 jobs. What happened to far beyond anything I can ever think or ask? What happened to your faith in that statement? What happened to your faith in the statement that said, if I speak to that mountain and say, be removed and cast to sea, you will have what you say? What happened to that? Well, your will, you put your will, you took it from God and you put it somewhere else. You let circumstances, pains, finances override the will of God. I wonder how many times we do that. And God says, I thought you trusted me. One more trip around the mountain. And you wonder why some people can do it for 40 years. How long have you been doing it? Let's stop. Let's realize who He is and who He is to us. Or maybe my hormones or my will. I just do whatever turns me on. Hey, you're on your way to hell if that's the case. I promise you. Because your will kill you. It is bound and determined to kill you if you follow it. If you give it to God, you will have life and that more abundantly. It's that simple. It's a gift God gave to you that He wants back. I gave you the will. One of the things that's not taught in true salvation matches is that the thing that's required is your will. It is not free. Salvation is not free. It costs God dearly, and salvation is going to cost you dearly. It's worth every investment. Everything. If I believe that I'm led by the Spirit, the circumstances around me, the pain that's in me, the comfort, the discomfort that I'm going through is there for a purpose and is for good. I've been directed to this point. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Therefore, and I was led here by God, therefore, it's all good. I don't feel so good. Well, quit going by your feelings. They'll kill you too. And who or what do I say? What do I say about your will concerning me? Do you know how many people are tremendously swayed off track by somebody else's opinion? You say to me, I'm believing God for good Christian people. And I use that word loosely. We'll walk up and say, I know somebody that tried that and they died. You know what that person just tried to do to you? Let their will override your faith. What was their will? Well, one thing is that tongue that we're supposed to condemn. Right that minute, their will was located in their tongue, and they tried to dump on you. What are you saying, Stan? I'm saying that your prosperity, your health, your provision, your salvation cannot be affected by anybody else. It is the sweetest, best, most secure relationship on the face of the earth. You and your Father. And revelation knowledge, His mind through Christ Jesus, you don't need to be persuaded. Well, what if I've tried this and believed this for years and it hadn't come to pass? How about a few more years? Maybe until you get it right. Because God didn't miss it. Oh, you're just trying to blame me? Yes. Because it's just downright dumb to blame God. That's just dumb. If there's a failure, if there's not a completion, it is not His fault. If we can just get on track, believe His word without a shadow of a doubt, and walk in it, it will work. It is working. It has already worked. I have choices. Either your word or your opinion influences me, or God's word, which is also my word, is all that matters. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Please, you're not of the devil if you say something that pulls me down. But you may be following the devil. Don't do it too many more times, or Jesus may appear and say, your father is the devil. Or, get behind me, Satan. Anybody know what? Hey, turn to Jeremiah 29:10. Just to remind you what the will of God for you is. No matter what anybody else tells you, no matter what your goofy body tells you, or your mind, this is the mind of God. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you. After you've made your faith trip, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. What kind of word? Not a bad word, right? God doesn't have any bad words, so He can't give you any. When you let me show up, I'll perform it too. For I know, God says, the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, never of evil. At your worst, God has never had an evil thought about you. To give you a future and a hope. Not, I hope, I hope, I hope. They're not the same. The hope is that you are so trusting in God, so vested in His Word, that you know everything forward is nothing but hope. It's exciting. It's good. The next one. Then you will call upon me. When? When you finally figured out I'm good. then I don't think evil thoughts about you. I don't give you cancer to teach you something. I don't blow your house up with a tornado so you'll get I get your attention. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I will listen. When will you listen? When you really believe I listen. When you really believe that I do good. And you will seek me and find me. And when you find him, you found a good thing. When you search for me with all your heart is when you'll find me. When you search for me with all of your heart, you'll find me. Not, oh God, I don't have any money in my pocket, and as soon as I have money in my pocket, I'll give you some praise. No, you give it to me now or you ain't going to give me none. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. What? I'm not captive. Oh, you're not. Shall we sit down and talk and let me find some places where we're captive? Seek him with all your heart, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, no matter how far you've strayed, and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive. Now listen to this. In the Old Testament, God gets blamed for everything. It's the way it is. It's the way it's written. Let me really tell you what that says. The place that you are captive in, you put yourself there. Now I'll bring you back. God's not double-minded. He didn't send you a place so he could bring you back. You are where you are because of who you are. You are brought back from that place when you realize who he is. You quit worrying about who you are or not. Most of the time, the devil's more interested in telling you who you're not. And too many times we're listening. I am a son of God. And when I figure that out, I am no more a captive. Because no weapon formed can hold me, capture me, come against me. I've got the keys of the kingdom, and the gates of hell can't prevail. What about my will concerning you? What do I say about that? How many times would you just kind of like to see somebody die? I've had a few thoughts like that once in a while. Y'all can be angels if you want to. I'm not. I'm a son of God. I've passed that angel thing. Y'all stay at the angels. I'm going to go past that. I got a little sneaky suspicion when Jesus was on that cross and that little, or going to the cross, and that little passage in there says, I could have called 10,000 angels. He had it cross his mind. And the 10,000 angels were already angry at what they were doing to him, and they would have annihilated everybody there. So I know what Jesus said, on your mark, get set, and right before he said go, the Holy Spirit said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now that's who we really are. Now back to my will concerning you. Is my will I don't care? You know, you're going to go to work in that prison. And the best thing that the enemy could have happen to you is don't care. And have the rest of the world tell you, well, you can't care. You're working in the prison. You understand what I'm saying? Don't care means I've cast all my cares on God. Now I have a bad case of the don't cares. But it doesn't mean I don't care. I'm not chasing my tail there. You know what I'm saying. Instead of saying I don't care, I can say I have the heart of God in this matter. And if you don't, you keep saying it and you will. I can say to people, you're beyond help. Or I can say, oh, with God, all things are possible. My will be determined by what I say. My will be determined by what I say. Your will be determined by what you say. What you say will never override what I say. And what I say will never override what you say. Does that make sense what I said? Your thought processes, your words over me don't count. The gates of hell will not prevail. Now I need to make sure that I don't levy charges against you so that you don't have to use against me the word. Watch my will. There is one I am. You don't have your I am, and I have my I am. That isn't the way it works. There's only one. And about people, he has one thought. Not my thought and your thought. If we don't share similar thoughts, we don't share I am. One or both of us need to get it straight. If my faith believes, or my mouth says I can move mountains and yours says I can't move anthills, you're not serving the same I am that I am. And your I am that I am won't go very far. We have to, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that we have to, with our words, mime God. If they don't speak what He would speak, we're not serving I am. Therefore, I'm not I am. I can't speak weaker than God and get by with it. I can't be a little soft-spoken, mamby-pamby Michael Jackson and look like God. Because God don't look like that. And He don't act like that. And He doesn't speak like that. You never have to figure out what He said. He doesn't speak like this. You don't believe it? Talk to Him once in a while. See? One I am. Your thoughts, my thoughts, your words, my opinions, your opinions, they have to merge into the one I am. The one. We've got to know who He is. We've got to go where He's going. Your I am can't be going to the beer joints and mine to the bowling alley on church night. We don't actually have a good testimony by showing people you don't have to go to church. We do what He does. We act like He acts. We think like He thinks. Okay. Do I truly believe that God's thoughts are my thoughts? Well, not really, because I have some really strange thoughts. So you know God's thoughts are not strange. Do you think the world accepts God's thoughts as normal or a little outlandish? See, if somebody's not accusing you of having some strange thoughts, you're not thinking, I am. Well, how do I know for sure that God's thoughts are my thoughts? Well, I can tell you one right now. I'll tell you point blank. If it's good for the kingdom, it's God's thoughts. And if it's not, it's not. Well, does that mean if I want a new pair of boots, it's not good for the kingdom? I didn't say that. I will say if you spend every dime you have and then some to get those pair of boots, that's not the way God thinks. But He hadn't got anything against boots. That makes sense to you? If they're good for the kingdom, they're God's thoughts. If they are foolish, listen to me. If they're wasteful, if they degrade in any way, if it puts somebody into captivity instead of offering freedom, if it drives them away instead of draws them in, it's not I am. And you don't have the thoughts of I am. If you have any fear about your thoughts, you're not thinking, I am. Did you hear what I said? I had a friend of mine one time got saved later in life. And he came to me. I mean, this guy was serious about God. He was serious, man. I've never met anybody more serious. And he came into my store one day and he was crying. I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I had a dirty dream last night." And he said, "I just rolled out on the floor and I said, 'God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I don't ever want to do that again.'" I said, "Okay." "What do you mean, okay?" I said, "You told him you were sorry and you don't want to do it anymore. It's okay." He said, "You mean it's that simple?" I said, "Well, he brought you in here to ask about it, didn't he?" You hear what I'm saying? You set somebody free. You don't say, "Brother, let's go in the back room and talk about this. You better go to some classes." No, you set them free. Then I said, "What do you consider a dirty thought?" He looks at me real funny then. See, Christians get weird ideas about what's dirty thoughts. By the way, are you ruled by thoughts? Or is there a ruler in you that will take those into captivity if necessary? See, what I told you a while ago about that scripture, you have to take thoughts into captivity. That means you are going to have those thoughts that you don't want to have. Your job is to take them into captivity. Don't let them eat you. Pretty soon you do that enough, you'll start laughing at them. "I'm not even going to tell you what I just thought. Because it's funny." Y'all don't have any dirty thoughts, I can tell. If my thoughts, if my circumstances, if my finances, my health, my marriage, my friendships, my business, my pleasures, my sleep, my rest, my fun are not in agreement with the Word, stop. It's just that simple. But don't let somebody else's interpretation determine that. Remember the woman that came and dumped all the expensive oil on Jesus and he said, "Oh, bad girl, bad girl." Jesus didn't say that. But there were some good Christians that told him that. What I mean by that, I mean somebody trying to do good and didn't understand what good was. If those things are proper in God's sight, do it. Do it twice. Y'all didn't get that. You're looking at the stars or something. If those things around you that give you pleasure, fun, business, health, if they're good in God's sight, do it twice. Don't do it once. Have twice the fun. Jesus came to give you a life and that more abundantly. More abundantly than what? Than you can think or ask. Than you can think or ask. If it's not good in God's sight, God will let you know. Don't depend on somebody else's will or conscience or anything. God will let you know if you want to know. If you don't want to know, He's not talking to you. Turn to Genesis 1:26. One of my favorite scriptures. Keeps you, your backbone straight and your chest out. You're all son of God's, right? Your children, heirs of God. When did that start? Genesis? He didn't change His mind. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over everything." Who do you look like? Who do you act like? Next verse. You have dominion over everything. So God created man in His own image. There He did it. He didn't think about it. He did it. Who are you created in the image and likeness of? Okay. You think like Him then, right? And those thoughts that are for the kingdom will flood you, and those things that are against the kingdom will come once in a while and you take them into captivity. Why? Because that's the way God does it. You mean he might have bad thoughts? I'm not here to figure it out. I'm telling you, if he does, he takes them into captivity. Turns them to good. He might get mad at you once in a while and say, "Oh," and he says, "Good." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, "You have dominion, so be fruitful and multiply." Well, there's some of that fun. Fill the earth. Y'all missed that one. You can laugh once in a while. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over everything. That's twice. Have dominion over everything. Turn PETA off. Tell them to go to hell where they belong. Eat, drink, and be merry. Did I have another one there? Let me look to see. Nope, but I do want you to bring up the next one. Genesis 5:3. Where'd that come from? Okay. God said, "You're now in my likeness and image." What's the next thing that happened? And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his likeness and image. Isn't that amazing that God used the same words? So we didn't start off as a monkey and go somewhere else. And we didn't start off as a man and go to a monkey and come back. Because the Word says, in God's likeness and image, and the same thing happened to Noah. And anything else that's said is a liar. It's a lie against the truth. Adam lived 130 years, begot a son of his own likeness, and named himself. Even gave him the ability to name him. Then God turned around and said, "Not good enough? I'm going to rename you, son. In my likeness and image. With my ability. Keys to the kingdom. Authority and power over everything that lives and moves and has being on this earth, above and below." This sounds like God, but it's us. I am that I am. All right, bring up the next one. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Can I say we do not war with the flesh? We don't use flesh weapons against our flesh or your flesh. Okay? "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, from God, through God, our Father, for pulling down strongholds." What's a stronghold? Mostly in you, there's a stronghold. And sometimes in others. Can we get that straight? Mostly in me is the stronghold. Sometimes in others, but I'm not worried about that. I'm busy with my own. What's a stronghold? Something that's not strong. It's got a hold on you, but it's not as strong as you. It's not as strong as the Word. It's not as strong as your faith. Holds you back. Now, where is that stronghold? It's the pain in your neck. It's the pain in your back. It's your husband. It's your wife. It's all those excuses that you use. It's the lack of finances. It's every sickness and disease that you see on television anymore. Those. What are you supposed to do with them? Casting down arguments. A lie against the truth. Anything that speaks against what you know to be true is an argument. And you cast those down. What gives you the power to do that? You have the keys to the kingdom. You're a son of God. You can't be anything else. It's displeasing to God if you don't do this. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the intimate relationship, the heirship, the Word that you've got, that knowledge of God. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He said He has good thoughts for you, plans of future. That's the knowledge of God. Anything that comes against that is an argument that you are to clamp on, throw down, stomp in the ground, say no. Casting down those arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing down every thought into captivity. every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Or like the obedience of Christ. And being ready. Here is the bad part. To punish. Well, we just established that most of the strongholds in you, most of the arguments in you, you got to punish. Punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know how you punish your disobedience? Through obedience. Now, you know this about diets. You'll say, I got this way by eating a gallon of ice cream a week. Well, how do I punish myself? Don't eat it. Eat a salad instead. That is punishment. Not near as good as ice cream. You got to be ready. You got to be quick draw McGraw. You got to recognize through the knowledge of God, you got to recognize what's not from God. And when you're ready, when you're looking, when you're saying, I'm looking in me something that's holding something back here and I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to find out what it is through the revelation, leading of the Holy Spirit. God's going to tell me what it is and I'm going to attack that like a chicken on a June bug. And I'm going to punish that June bug. Woo-hoo! Disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Anybody ready to do that? Have I got a couple more there? Now here's how you know, here's how I know, here's how we know. We've already talked about it. We're going to talk about it once more. The person that I am most encouraged to judge is me. So somebody else won't have to. And that is true. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christians will not go to judgment because they've already gone through it. Y'all study that out. It doesn't make any difference what I believe is going to happen, and I'm going to show up and find out. But you do the deeds of your father. When they said, then they said to him, we not born of fornication, we have one Father, and his name is God. That's why he said, you tell him I am that I am sent you. He didn't say, tell him God sent you. Because there was a God out there that wasn't a real God. Okay. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. So if anybody doesn't love me, God's not their father. Because I'm a son of God. Well, what if they say they hate me? They judge themselves. You don't have to do anything. You know you're loved. You know God loves you. If they don't love you, they're not in tune with God. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Did I just not show you in Genesis 1:26 that you came from God? So he's not saying anything that you can't say. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Tell him, I am that I am sent me. We're getting a hold of this, I hope. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to word. Sometimes when you get up and try to teach or preach, you feel like your head's being, you're banging your head against a wall. The only reason that could be happening is right there. You're not able to listen to word. What would keep you from listening to word? Your will. You don't want to hear the truth and be set free. You want to hear what you want to hear. It's called itching ears. I have spent weeks now trying to convince you that your name is I Am. And there's people, if they came in here and heard me say that to them, they would run out saying, ah, that's the devil, that's the devil. And I would say, you must not want to hear the word. So who's your father? I'm not even going to talk about their mama. I'm talking about their father. Is that it for that one? Okay. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. Now don't get mixed up. I said a while ago that you are to take thoughts into captivity. Just because you had a thought doesn't mean that the devil's your father. But if you let those thoughts take you away, then your father, you're obeying. Okay? You've turned your back on God the Father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. One of the things, if you're today, that's rampant is there's truth is hard to come by. It's hard to find truth anymore. People think that lying is okay. I can tell you a dozen examples zipping through my mind right now. It's nuts. 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4 anymore. Just something else. Yeah, but you don't understand. That's the first word. But you don't understand. That's the devil talking to you. You don't understand. I have the mind of Christ. Don't tell me I don't understand. If I don't understand this moment, I will. I will have revelation knowledge. He doesn't stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Evidently, truth attracts truth. Truth sets you free, right? So truth must attract truth. Somebody that's hungry for truth will go to a place that is speaking truth. If they have itching ears, they'll go for the music program. They'll go for the Sunday school. They'll go to be put part of the committees for the committee's committee. Had a cousin come to me just proud as a peacock one day. Stan, I'm going to the Baptist church and they made me a member of the CCCC. And I said, what is the CCCC? He said, I'm on the committee for the committee's committee. And I laughed and he got insulted. And I said, okay. Just tell me what the committee for the committee's committee is. He said, we're the committee to look over all the other committees to see if any of them can be weeded out or if we need more. Oh my goodness. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. So if we decide, shall I be nice and say, bend the truth, which you can't do, then is that our resources? And if it is, who's our father? But if somebody asks me a question, I tell them the answer and they get mad, well then you're revealing your father if you're getting mad at the truth. Now you don't have to just, how does this dress make me look? I told you. If it's your wife, you tell them, I like you better naked, and you're okay. You'll skate on that one. But if it really makes her ugly, finish the statement and tell her. Tell her. That thing, take it back. I love you, but that dress sucks. You know why? Because you're trying to help. You're not trying to hurt. You're trying to help. Truth helps. Sets people free. But if you lie about it, they go strutting in this thing that makes them look so awkward. And they're going to find out later. Somebody's going to tell them. And then they found out you don't tell the truth, they're not going to trust you anymore. Now that last one. Was that the last one? No, that wasn't the last one. One more? Okay. Most assuredly, you know you can't get any further than most assuredly. That's as high as you get. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. You know what that's saying? If you believe in him, you believe in you. Come on, don't look at me foggy-eyed. If you believe that you can do the works that He did also, more, you believe in you because you believed in Him. You want to explain to me how else that could be? I mean, y'all looking at me kind of weird. If God can believe in me, why can't I believe in me? I feel like that a number of you need to ask that question of yourself over and over by the looks you're giving me. God believes in you. Don't insult Him by you not believing in you. If He thinks you can do greater than Jesus, then you need to start believing that. Otherwise, it won't happen. Okay. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. That means because I'm getting out of the way. He does more than that, but let's just make it simple for now. I was here to do it, now I'm going, your turn, tag, you're it. And as soon as you believe that, you can do it. You will do it. It's a command of God. And if we're not doing it, and I'm not doing it enough, and neither are you, we need to keep this on our mind until He can't help Himself. He just gets so excited and starts working through us, He loses track of what we're doing. We lose track. We quit working on the negative side all the time. Trying to pull out of things. Whatever you ask, once you start believing this, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That I might do it. And God is not a liar. That the Father, and this is why, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Are you a son? Okay. I hope that I've painted a picture here that you can't weasel out of. You can't find any excuse, any reason, or any argument. And if you do, please come to me and I'll find some better material. But it'll still say the same thing. Or you just won't be convinced, and I hate to say it, but you'll be damned. To what? To mediocre, non-Christ-like life. It's one thing to say, Jesus is my Lord. But it's another thing when you say, I don't want to act like Him. That's not a good thing. I'm going to say it, and then I'm through. You will not find the word rapture in the Bible. It's not in there. You will not find a day or a time. You will not find anything in the Bible that points to a day or a time. You want to know why? The Bible will tell you there's a formula about when God's coming. It's when you have finished doing what you're supposed to do. Am I right? If it takes another 10 million years, God is not in a hurry. We have a job to do, and we're only going to do it is if we think we're like Christ. And we think we can do the works of Christ. And when we decide that, we will finish the work that God has started, and He can now come. I taught a long series one time on it's when, not why. No, it's why, not when. I get it right. It's why, not when. You want to make some good religious people happy, just say that out loud. Just say it out loud twice and they'll crucify you. I get so stinking tired of hearing about the rapture. I'm already raptured. My word, I got delivered from this earth. I'm not looking for a second coming. I'm looking for a third one. I'm past the second. I've already found out I can't die. I'm already in eternity and the world is too dumb to know it. I need to tell them about it. I need to witness about it. Maybe I can get some more people on this boat. Amen? But the best way is to have the mind of Christ. Don't bullhorn people and try to get them saved. Wait till the voice of God says, that one, that one. And then don't run. Why? Because I have the keys not only to the kingdom, but some people's hearts and eternity.